You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, at the end of a long week, the start of a new week. That's right, but we finished the tourism week here in Bogota, so that's why we're going to be doing a travel-related show, and I know a lot of you enjoy that because we get to talk about some of the more peculiar places in Colombia. And, well, before we launch into that, and before I tell you who's a very special guest on the show, I've had some feedback about my chat with Jose Miguel Jaramillo about his socially inclusive company employing ex-guerrillas and so on and so forth here making leather bags, and people have been overwhelmingly positive about this kind of altruistic industry, enterprise, entrepreneurship that, you know, young Colombians are putting together. So if there's any hope for the future, we can hopefully look for people like that to, you know, do some, let's say, to, you know, to unselfish projects around Colombia and you know, try and reinvest in the country. But we're here, episode 220, with Alex Edgerton, who's been on the show twice before. So this is his third appearance on Columbia Calling. He's, of course, author of a Lonely Planet book to Colombia, which will be coming out in 2018. So very honored to have him here, because it will be the most selling book on Colombia, you know, traditionally so. And so it's very cool to have him on, and we'll be picking his brains about Colombia and picking his brains about off the beaten track. But first, we'll start by reflecting a little bit on what is known as ANATO, the travel fair, or the Vitrina Turística, that takes place every year at this time of year, so end of February, beginning of March, in Bogota, in the big convention center. And you know, what did you think? I mean, Alex, welcome back on Columbia Calling, first and all. Welcome, well done on getting that book out there, and it will be out later this year, The Lonely Planet Columbia One. Lots of work.
Yes, Richard, thanks. Good to be back. Lots of work, but always good fun to hit the road, and, you know, that's what we do, so it's nice to actually be out there and not stuck in an office.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's always good to try and get some new destinations in, like you were saying, to get people out and about. But, yeah, ANATO, which is the main tourism fair in Colombia, which is the big event that the government likes to promote the country to, both visitors within the country and international visitors. Mm-hmm. You'll see quite a lot of people from all over the place at the event. It's quite a big event. Mm-hmm. It's also an opportunity for some of the regions of Colombia who maybe are not well known to travelers to come and put forward what they offer. And of course, there's international guests who come from around the region and across the globe to promote their country to Colombian travelers. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. There's a component of Colombia pushing itself and a component of external destinations trying to capture the fairly sizable Colombian market, which is not traditionally being amongst the great travelers. Mm. It's an interesting event. It's something that, you know, it's a chance for Colombia to try and put its bad reputation, which it had developed, behind it and show the world what's it got to offer. But it's also an event where, you know, if you look around, you also see some of the places where the country needs to improve in tourism. For example, a lot of the displays are they're not very politically correct. Mm. You'll see a lot of the departments, the far off Amazonian departments from the Amazon basin, bringing indigenous members of their community to stand for photos dressed up in full cowboy and Indian garb, which is a little upsetting. It's not the most modern take on tourism. So, yeah, it's always interesting to see where we're at and how much further we have to go.
Right. And you've been coming to this for years. I've been coming to it for 10 years. over the years, have you seen change in this big event? I mean, it's in Corferias, which is the big convention center in Bogota. Yes, they're building a huge Hilton there. They've built another huge building. The infrastructure of this place could be improved. Well, let's not dwell on that, but that's the truth of it. It could be improved. But I say the changes is, I still think 8 years ago it was a bigger deal than...
Look, Richard, to be perfectly honest, when you're welcoming international guests to your country and you can't even give them a Wi-Fi connection, that's not good enough. Mm. You know, these guys are coming off the plane, fresh off the plane from Europe, from other parts of South America, from the US. They don't have local SIM cards, you know, and there's not a decent internet connection in the whole place. I mean, that's just embarrassing to begin with. These kind of things, it doesn't cost a lot to get that sorted out, and it really needs to happen. Next thing, you know, right now, I'm not sure if all the listeners are aware, there's a bit of a problem with rubbish in Bogota, and it's not being collected. So, you know, I get here, I get to the bus station on the plane, and my whole taxi ride to Corferias, I see rubbish all over the place. So, you know, when you bring in, this is your main event to push your country, you need to get those things sorted out.
It's the window, as they say, the vitrina, the window for tourism. But I'm sort of thinking also within. And, you know, I remember the Choco, for example, Choco stand just being so exciting some years ago. Is it because I'm old and jaded now? Or is it less exciting?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, it's every edition, it's same old, same old. They, you know, every stand's doing the same thing every time, which is fine because the most visitors only come once.
Yes.
I mean, we go every year, so you know, same old thing. But at the same time, no, there's not a lot of creativity going on in a tour. But that's a symptom of the wider tourism sector, which obviously, as you're well aware, what international tourists look for in Colombia and what Colombian tourists look for are quite distinct. And, you know, there needs to be a bit of a push because they're competing with the regional powers, Peru, which in terms of tourism has done a great deal with creative promotion, Ecuador, which is a country which doesn't have, in my opinion, close to the amount of potential that Colombia has, but are very, very good at pushing their country. And they have, obviously, they have the Galapagos, which helps them with their, you know, superstar attraction. But as a whole, they're very good at promoting. So, I mean, Colombia has a way to go. They're improving, sure. Slowly, they're getting better, but they need, I mean, that creativity is lacking. And you notice that in this event. It feels a little bit tired. And I think it's also a problem with a lack of continuity and strategic planning in the tourist sector. You know, projects come and go. Every time I go to Anato, there's new itineraries, new circuits that they're promoting, and then they disappear. And so, you know, as journalists, if we write about these circuits and somebody comes 12 months or 18 months down the road and says, hey, I want to do the Ruta del Sol or the Ruta de Oro or the Ruta whatever the one of the moment is,
botanical,
and it doesn't exist anymore. And so this is the problem. There's no continuity. There's quite a lot of slogans, but not a lot of follow through.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's quite timely. I mean, look at this. I've got this brochure that I picked up from the Bolivar department, where Mompos is. Of course, my listeners will know I've got vested interest in Mompos. It's the Ruta de la Paz, so the route of peace, you know. And so they're naming almost every little town on the way between Cartagena and Mompos, and each, you know, attractive point that's got in it. So you've got Arjona, which says ecotourism, there's near things about accordions, there's a festival of the accordion, there's the town of Maria la Baja, which has Afro culture, a volcano, which I don't think is a volcano, ecotourism. But how much infrastructure is there actually in these towns to cater for a tourist? I don't even think they would know what to do if a German or European turned up and said, you know, I want to do your trail. You know, like, oh, today it's not open. You know, I think I praise that this initiative is being done because tourism does need to get to these places, and there are people that will like to spend these things or just to read about them. It's an important thing because they have been strafed by, first FARC, then ELN, and then paramilitary violence in this area. They have been strafed. Now it's, you know, a little calmer, but at the same time, you're like, I don't know. It's very nice slogan, it's very catchy, this is a nicely put together flyer, but really, how many people are they expecting to go to San Juan Nepomuceno. I can never say it. You know, how many people are expecting to drop in there? Yeah,
so. That's the key thing, Richard. I mean, it has to be more than a slogan. Obviously, we're going to talk about today about off the beaten track tourism in Colombia, but it's very important to manage the expectations of the people in the community. You know, if you turn up and say, we're going to get involved in tourism, this is the new thing, this is the future thing, but you can't let people stop what they're doing, because it's from one day to another. Look, they'll be lucky in those towns to get 10 or 20 people in a year.
I think so, yeah. Unless they're filling up their gas tanks.
And look, at the beginning, you know, obviously you have to begin somewhere. But the point is, you have to manage expectations. You can't have people thinking they're going to survive from tourism from one day to the next. And there's a bit of a tendency in Colombia to want to include everybody in everything, which is a political thing. People don't want to be left out. But at the same time, it doesn't help to make 26 routes.
No.
You should make 3 or 4 good routes, capacitate the people, you know, try and get the things working well, and then include more. There's a tendency to make everybody included in towns that don't have, you know, a good restaurant, towns that don't have a good hotel. So, I mean, I think it's very important for them to put more focus on the destinations that really they're going to work with, rather than try and spread the funds too thin.
They have a durability that are going to last time. This is going to be something that grows. This is something that, you know, is going to be established. Before we go further on that, though, let's just go back to the Anato Fair. Now, honorably invited country, Curaçao. I think we should be, in no disrespect to Curaçao, Caribbean nation, very nice to visit. No actual natural beaches. They imported their sand. Ruined, as I believe, by cruise ships. And, of course, refinery on there. I have been there. You know, you can call me on this, but I have. You know, but nice enough to visit for a couple of days, a few days, a week, whatever. But hardly somewhere that we should be, surely we should be promoting somewhere equal to or better than Colombia. Somewhere who could bring ideas in. And there's always a national honorary sort of invitation, and this year was Medellin. Now, Medellin, for all the right reasons, has been in the press, of course, because of the, you know, over the years, the turnaround, the change, the most sophisticated city, innovative city. That's right. And yes, the escalators, the cable car, the train system. It's great. These things are great. Medellin is a great place to visit. But the same, the very day the launch party, Medellin had some bad news.
Yeah, Richard, that was quite unfortunate. Once again, the pollution in Medellin has been in the headlines here in Colombia because it got to unsafe levels by all international norms. Last time this happened, the kids had to stay inside at schools. They weren't allowed to go out and play. You know, so, I mean, it's a long-term problem. It's not something they can fix from one day to the other, but it's quite unfortunate that, you know, they're promoting Medellin as the key destination in Colombia, and at the same time, this pollution issue has reared its head right at the wrong moment. It's a little bit like Brazil in the World Cup, where when they had it in their backyard, they had their worst team in a long time. It's very unfortunate, but a lot of people in Medellin are being critical that not enough is being done, because this is a serious issue. And it's something that, you know, when you're breathing dangerous air every day, you know, day and night, for the young people, it's a problem. For old people, it's a problem. Yeah. And there has been a lot of criticism that a lot's been spent on slogans. A lot's been spent on you know, propaganda, but how much has actually been spent on the problem? There's environmental groups that have been protesting outside the mayor's office in Medellin today. There was protest people about the air quality. They've got a real problem because the situation of Medellin, it's geographically located in the bottom of a very steep valley that the air just does not come down into it. And it's not industry. It's 80% of the pollution comes from vehicles, which is harder to, you know, control, because the city grows, there's more and more vehicles. It's quite unfortunate. Obviously, it's not something that can be fixed from one to the other, but it is something that, for the city to be a real, you know, a real tourism superstar of South America, they need to pay attention, because if not, it's just going to get worse and worse. And it is an issue. I mean, nobody wants to spend 3 weeks in smog.
No. We can do that elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that needs to be addressed. And it's something that it's not just about tourism. Obviously, it's a huge issue for the people that reside in Medellin, who don't have a choice where they go. It's a population in the urban area of around 3 million, you know, and this is something that really affects the quality of life. And you know, while the mayor was here telling us how great everything is in Medellin, this was happening. And it's something, you know, like in many places in Colombia, that with forests being cut down. I was talking with a journalist friend in Anato, and he's just got back from San Vicente de Caguán. And he said, you can just smell the forest burning. Since the peace process, since the FARC have withdrawn from the area, the forests have been cut down, you know, so pollution, forest, rivers being polluted. This affects tourism, and this is something, you know, it's not all about. And one more thing I'll mention, in Anato, in a Vitrina Turística, the amount of paper and brochures that people were taking and throwing away is disgraceful. I mean, people are carry roller suitcases, and they fill them with glossy brochures that they'll read once and throw away. And I think Colombia really needs to take the lead in that kind of thing in a country that's one of its main points. You know, like we said, here doesn't have Galapagos. Mm. He doesn't have his main point. The main selling points of Colombia is the culture and the environment. Mm. And if they don't look after the environment, that's one less thing they can sell.
Very true. Very true. And, you know, we are not here to just criticize Medellin. It's because the point was put on it, the magnifying glass put on Medellin because, of course, it's the invitee of honor. I mean, that's the thing. But this is the truth about this thing. And so I go, and actually in the next segment, I'll sort of talk a little bit more about the sort of speed dating for travel agencies that I participate in. Where we pitch our ideas and our things. But we want to talk a bit more in the second segment of this show about off the beaten track Colombia. And, you know, off the beaten track doesn't mean at the end of the earth. I mean, it can be actually quite close in. It's somewhere that, you know, people don't ordinarily go. But we will, of course, talk about some of those places at the end of the earth here within Colombia's frontiers. But we'll take a short break at the moment and come right back. We're speaking to Alex Edgerton, who's the author of The Lonely Planet Guide to Colombia, coming out this year. So again, very, very knowledgeable about Colombia, and has been here a long time as well. So we're talking travel in Colombia and all sorts of issues. This is Colombia Calling, episode 220. We'll take a short break, and please don't go away. Thank you. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, talking to Alex Edgerton of The Lonely Planet Guide to Colombia, out later this year, 2018. Be a very good guide. It'll have all the places you need to visit. And that's why we're here. We're talking at the end of the Tourism Week, beginning of a new week here in Bogota. And of course, we're talking about the travel fair that was just going on. And okay, we've been a little bit negative, but at the same time, there are positive things that come out of this Anato fair. And it's not just, you know, I'll talk about my experiences. For 10 years now, I've been participating in the Rueda de Negocios, which is the business meetings where you sign up, pay a fee, and sign up for meeting 30-minute meetings with potential buyers from other countries who are brought over and are looking for product in Colombia. So it's like I said in the end of that last segment, a bit like speed dating, and you give your pitch to these agencies, of course. You know, and I've met with German, Dutch, Belgian, French, Canadian, American, you know, Chinese agencies this week. It's been very, I think, successful. But again, for those of you who are planning on working in the tourism field, remember, these things take time. It takes time for travel agencies to know exactly what, you know, they need for their clientele and how to sell it. Because this is Colombia. One era is much bigger than one era elsewhere. Colombia has its justifiably poor reputation for reasons that are justifiable. And if something happens here to someone's client, multiply it by 1,000. We know for the effect that happens here in Colombia, because it's Colombia, because it's known for the bad news. But what I liked about this feria was an emphasis in certain pavilions on these newer departments, obviously states or counties here in Colombia, that don't get traditional tourism. And they're largely, you know, the more sort of Amazonian style, let's say jungle type departments across the country. So we see equal weighting to places like Valpez and Vichada and Arauca and Caquetá, and places you don't ordinarily hear about. And that's quite cool. And, you know, these are the off the beaten track areas of Colombia, and I've traveled a little fraction of them, but Alex has traveled more. Let's talk about these places. I mean, what can we expect? Let's say, you know, there will be your intrepid travelers who want to go out on like extreme bird watching or extreme fishing, or, you know, in the Rio Caqueta or somewhere down there. But what else can they get out of these places going down into Putumayo or Guainia? Well, I mean, you've been there. Tell us about them.
Yeah, Richard. Well, this is the great thing in Colombia. You can really get way off the tourist track. Mm. If you want to, you can go to places where you won't see another traveler for months. And, you know, that's not easy in South America, in other countries. Ecuador is a small country, and, you know, the neighboring countries. It's not like Colombia where the tourist trail is so defined.
Yeah.
Here, you know, maybe because of the insecurity, people have never really branched out. You know, to parts, basically the Amazon basin here. Leticia is the main access point that gets quite a few travelers.
Yeah.
But the Amazonian region is massive, mm. and you know there's towns throughout it that are, you know, have zero tourism infrastructure. And I think we need to be clear here: you're not going to find comfortable hotels. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find good restaurants. Eating is a real problem. And, you know, but it's an adventure, and this is the kind of place where you can still have a real adventure and relatively easy. I mean, a lot of these places are served by flights from Bogota. You can jump on a plane with Satena, which is the military's, the Air Force's airline, which is a government airline, and they fly out to airports all over the Los Llanos, the plains down in the Amazon basin. In an hour and a half from Bogota, you can be in the middle of nowhere.
Nowhere.
And, you know, obviously, you need to be aware of what you're getting into. Your travel insurance will not cover you. There's just no way you're going to, you know, get evacuated, or so you're going to void your travel insurance. But to be honest, if you do a little bit of research, there's no reason why these destinations can't be safe, if not safer than the bigger cities in the country. You know, I was recently in Mitú, the capital of Valpes, which has got a bad name in Colombia because it's the only departmental capital that had been taken over by the guerrilla.
Mm.
The FARC took over the whole town for a couple of days, and it's the only capital city that's happened to. But right now, it's about as tranquil as you could be. It's well under government control. It's very safe. It's a small town.
Mm. Mainly, it's just drunken brawling, if it's anything.
No, but not even that. No. Mitú is just, you know, I think there's 3,000 or 4,000 police and 6,000 population, you know, in the whole department, but they're all in Mitú. There's like 6 or 7 roads and 12 police cars. It was a sore point for the government that got taken over.
Mm.
But it's you can travel around there, and I never felt unsafe in those regions. The issue more than anything is getting around. Yeah. There's some, you know, some of the air travel there is quite dicey. There's still DC-3 planes from the 40s that are in active service. You know, the little with piston motors.
That World War II plane.
Exactly. You know, Indiana Jones style planes where you're stuck in the DC-3.
Yeah, the Dakota.
Yeah. You're stuck in a canvas seat, stuck against the wall, and then when the plane pitches to the left or the right, the barrels of fuel in the cargo hold fly across and stop in the net in front of your face. It's a real adventure, and there's little small planes. But the actual towns, you know, are quite safe. They're quite fun to visit. You know, and we're not just talking about the Amazon. I mean, a lot of people go to, like we said, Leticia, but, you know, Guaviare, Valpes, Puerto Nirida. These are places that nobody goes to.
No.
You know, I would hazard a guess that foreign tourists, a few dozen maximum,
yeah.
you know, in any given 12-month period. And also in Los Llanos, in the plains further north, you know, you get up to Vichada, Casanare, Arauca, Meta. You know, these departments, again, don't get a lot of visitors and are not that difficult to access. We're not talking, you know, Brazil where you have to take a boat for four days to get into the middle of the jungle. These are places within an hour and a half from Bogota, 2 hours. In the case of Los Llanos, you can drive, you know, if you can hire a vehicle and go deep into the Los Llanos, and you can see amazing animals and nature. I mean, but even close to the main tourist trail, there's off the beaten track destinations. This is the thing. In Colombia, you'll notice many people will go to Medellin, and then they'll take a bus 9 hours to go to Salento to go to coffee farms. Salento is a lovely town. It's beautiful. It's right on the edge of the Parque Los Nevados, and it has the Valle del Cocora, which is one of the most stunning places in Colombia. But you can find coffee farms 2 or 3 hours outside Medellin coffee towns with nobody in them.
Mm.
You know, when we say off the beaten track, it's not necessarily geographic. It's just getting off the main trail. I mean, the southwest of Antioquia, around Jardín, Temesis, Jerico, these places Harding's getting a few more visitors now, but they're not awash with travellers, you know, or the southeast of Antioquia. Again, a few hours from Medellin, you'll get down to Sonson,
mm-hmm.
which is it was once a very important village on the road between Bogota and Medellin. It's got a lot of history, and it's a nice, you know, colonial era, the colonization of Antioquia, and nobody goes there.
Mm.
I mean, you don't have to go far. You don't have to get out into the jungle and get bitten by mosquitoes. There's towns, you know, from Bogota, you go down to the Magdalena River, and you'll find towns like Ambalema, which is 4 hours, I guess, from
4 hours
from Bogota, and it's a colonial town that was once surrounded by tobacco haciendas, and nobody goes. I mean, it's really easy in Colombia to find out, you know, find places that maybe have not made it onto the map, but still have a lot to offer.
Returning to the original spirit of travel, you know, again, it's not about going to the most distant or difficult to access place. The places are all over. I can fully understand what you're saying. In your new book, you've got these places in there too, right? You've got a lot of these new places.
Yeah, well, as much as you can get. I mean, obviously in the publishing industry, there's a lot of cost restraints.
Sure.
Especially now with the way that book sales are going. Mm. We always try and include a few new places. In the new book, we're including, I hope, when it comes out, Guadalupe in Santander, which is a nice little town, just an hour and a half off the highway, the main highway from Bogota to Bucaramanga. Mm-hmm. And this little town just recently started to take visitors because it has its own version of Caño Cristales,
which is like gachas.
Gachas, see. And this is a red river. It's not made by algae like the famous Caño Cristales, but rather red rocks with little swimming holes, like personal-sized hot tubs.
Yeah. So this is the Caño Cristales of the poor, they say.
Exactly.
De los pobres.
The poor man's Caño Cristales.
That's it, yeah.
But as well as that, the town's pleasant and there's a lot of waterfalls and nature around it. I mean, this is the thing. It's 1.5 hours off the main highway. You don't have to go far in Colombia. You don't have to. You just have to be willing to do a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
Because still, look, there's places you still can't go.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But there's still plenty of places that are unknown and are perfectly safe to travel.
Yeah. That's true. Now, we were talking, but we were talking off air about our own travel in Colombia. We can digress about all other sorts of things. So we worked it out that I've yet to go to 6 departments in Colombia, which include Valpes, Fichada, Guainía, Arauca. That's 4. I've been to Caquetá, and I've been to Guaviare. So what else is Valpes, Putumayo, Fichada, Guainía, Arauca. What's the other one?
Norte Santander.
Can you believe it? I've not been to that one. But every time I try and go, there's some sort of protest around Catatumbo and I've not been. But I'm going this year. And Casanare as well. So there we go. So those are the ones I have not yet been to. Now, you need 5. It's like top trumps right now.
Yeah, I'm lacking Fichada, Casanare, Arauca, Guainía, which you also...
Yeah, I've said it. I've said that
okay.
one.
Okay,
yeah.
And Caquetá,
which I bizarrely know reasonably well. I'm looking at it here. I've been to Florencia, San Vicente, Caguán. I've been to San Juan de Losada on the border with Meta. I've been to Araraquara and then up to Chiribiquete up there. Now, when we flew in with Satena to Araraquara, the landing strip was carved out of a rock by prisoners. It was formerly a penal colony down there. I mean, that's what's so fascinating about these things. But that's we said, you know, we both miss Arauca, but you see, I would say that's probably one of the more tense departments because
sure,
of the,
that's on the Venezuelan border right now with the problem in Venezuela. It's also got a problem with guerrilla. I mean, there's reasons you don't go just anywhere. But again, within some regions, you know, within a department, there can be places that are fine and places that are not so good. I was based a long time in Cauca.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cauca department has a bad name in Colombia because it was traditionally a stronghold of the FARC, very much so, of the traditional wing of the FARC. But the thing a lot of people don't realize, when you hear about the problems in Cauca, most of them are in the north of Cauca, which is actually far closer to Cali than Popayán, the capital of Cauca. Popayán's a very tranquil, relaxed place. And these places that you hear in the news, Torabío, Caloto, they're all half an hour drive from Cali, you know, from Santander, Quilichao. So, you know, some departments are big, you know, there's places that are very safe. For example, in El Choco, which is the Pacific department, and there's places there that you can't go. I mean, it's important to get some advice before getting off the beaten track. I can't make that point clear enough. But at the same time, definitely don't be afraid, because there's many, many places in the country that are totally safe to travel.
We're looking at this map that I picked up as well in the tourism fair, and this is from it's obviously made by various departments working together to sort of signify the Amazonian region. Not technically correct, but it's really interesting to see that on the key. On this map, there is a little red man holding
a big rifle
in various parts of this map of Amazonia. And I just looked at it. It says, Zona de Conflict, Conflict Zone. They are actually marking on this map areas that are Zona de Conflict, which is the first time I've ever seen that. I just noticed it now. And I think that's incredibly responsible. It's not meant to scare you. You're just not meant to be in those places. This is a tourism fair. This is a tourism map with people who've obviously paid for, sponsors of publicity. They've got their hotels on it. They've got their restaurants on it. They've got things to do, etc. But on the map, there's a little red man with his gun. That's really interesting, fascinating to see. I've never before thought of that. And that's obviously Arauca there with a little red man with his gun. Is there much going on in Puerto Carreño? You've been there?
No. I haven't been to Puerto Carreño, no.
But I didn't think that was a conflict.
Well, the same thing. They've got one in Valpez near me too. And right now that's fairly good. Yeah. I think the problem with this, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think the problem with it is that the situation on the ground changes so fast in Colombia. Mm. And I really think the government needs to think about having some kind of website where independent travelers can get up-to-date information. Because if you ask somebody on the street in Bogota, should I go to Cauca? Should I go to Putumayo? They'll be like, no, don't go there. No. But they're basing their thoughts on their experience, on the news reports of the last decade or more, and it's not necessarily up-to-date or realistic. I mean, it's very hard. We're saying, okay, you need to find out the situation before you travel. But how do you find out? I mean, I think the best thing to do is talk to the authorities in the place where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Talk to the police and military in Colombia are very accessible.
Yeah.
And they're very happy to help out if you ask them. They'll err on the side of caution. But, you need to, getting off the beaten track is fantastic, but you do need to prepare.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think, yeah, but that's it. There are places in Putumayo. There's a couple of red men here. You can go. Putumayo's got a lot of things on offer. Of course, it's wrong. It's in the news for the wrong reasons a lot of times. But I'm looking at some of the stuff they've the bump that I've been given. It looks amazing. I mean, I really want to go. I want to take my son. I want to take my wife. She learns more about her own country and so on. I mean, so these things, rappelling down waterfalls in Putumayo. I mean, who knew? I mean, that's it. But that's the thing about it. And Colombia is just so, so vast with so many things that's also its greatest weakness is there's just too much. And, people are going to focus on Cartagena, Medellin, Bogota, Cali to some extent, the coffee zone, and then maybe their big out there trip might be to the Macarena for the Caño Cristales River, and maybe Leticia for a taste of the Amazon and so on. But you have to want to, you're coming back to go to these places. I mean, if you're a properly intrepid person. But let's talk a little bit. We're winding down, but we've almost 10 minutes left. But talk about some of the most out there places that you've been in Colombia then.
Okay, Richard. Yeah, just on what you were mentioning, I think it's important to tie in with the tourism fair and everything that Colombia does invest in the second tier destinations. Yes. Because, it's actually probably easier to bring somebody back to a country than to bring in a new visitor.
Mm.
But people don't want to come back and go to the same places. You've been to Cartagena, been to Medellin, which are rightly at the top. These places, people spend 2 or 3 weeks in Medellin and are happy exploring and absolutely, for so many reasons, these are the places people want to go. The coffee zone is fantastic, but people on a second or third trip are always going to be looking for new destinations. I think it's very important that these kind of fairs do bring these other destinations out. They do show people that tourism is an option in these departments. Talking about remote places, I personally like to get off the beaten track. I find it when I'm not working, that's where I go.
Mm.
For work, you have to stick a little bit more to the developed trail. But when I'm not working, I've been to some pretty out there places. I've been to one called Miraflores, which is in Guaviare.
Hmm.
which is notorious for security issues. But this is a place where, you know, the DC-3 comes in, and it comes in once or twice a week. And so everybody in the town, there's no roads in there. It's in the middle of nowhere. And so when the plane comes, everybody wants to get on it. And it's a bit of a brawl. You know, the plane gets down. It's a grass strip with cows on it. And the military clears the cows off. And then the plane lands, and then everybody just tries to force their way in, like people trying to get into a disco.
Or a bus.
Or a bus on a disco on a Friday night, or a bus at the bus station on a long weekend, trying to force their way into the plane. And obviously, these old planes have weight limits and everything, but people are just trying to force their way in. They have to sort of forcibly push a few people out, because they know if they don't get on that plane, it's going to be another week until they get out of there. So Miraflores, that's out there. That's out there. Also, I've been to Lopez de Micay, which doesn't appear on many maps.
No.
That's in the Pacific region, in the Cauca department. It's a 6-hour speedboat ride, fast boat, from Buenaventura, which is the main port there. And you're going along the sea for 2 hours and then up the river for 4 hours. And that's definitely out there. That's, you know, it's an Afro-Colombian community that's very traditional. And again, traditionally a conflict zone. These places have been off the beaten track for quite a long time, so they're not used to tourists. You're not going to find anywhere decent to stay. You're not going to find a good gourmet meal. I mean,
no,
you're going to eat arepas and eggs and chicken. But you know, these really, really remote areas, you find some of the most welcoming people in the country. You find, you know, amazing culture, and it's a bit of an antidote to the corporate tourism that's taken over the world. You know, TripAdvisor sponsored number one attraction. You know, down there, you won't find anything on TripAdvisor. You won't find anything on Booking.com. You'll be like out there on your own.
No, I'm happy you're talking about this, because I've traveled from Buenaventura back in the day when I worked for WWF, Buenaventura all the way down through the Parque Nacional Sanquianga, so near to Mosquera on the coast, down to Tumaco. And we went inland on a river because we were studying the mangroves, as you can see on this map here. I was thinking about, of course, we stopped in some town where there were no hotels. Of course, there are no hotels. And we had to check in with the local priest each time, and they were like, yep, the gorillas know you're here, but you're okay. And we're like, okay. And we'd have to stay either in the priest's lodgings or in someone's home on their floor. Fine. I didn't mind, you know, rough, ready, whatever. But I remember that, so it was quite a big deal. The photographer, very white, blue-eyed English guy, myself, 6'2", blue, green-eyed, white guy, in these Afro towns. And so they put on like a, you know, some music for us, live music, and it was kind of a celebration, and we ate the local food, and I said, I was dying for a number two to go to the bathroom, and they said, oh, you're just there. And I said, what do you mean just there? And it was in the kitchen, and I was meant to squat beneath what was their sink in front of everyone. I mean, even for, you know, I have few sensitivities in life, but, you know, I like a little privacy when you're going for to the trap. But that's how it lives. That's the difference in this life out there. And that it's way out there. I mean, it's.
And that's the thing in Colombia. I mean, this is a country that has such extreme contrasts. You know, right now we're in Bogota, in a fairly posh part of town.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you know, skyscrapers and expensive, you know, hipster restaurants and all kinds of business. And then you can go out in a DC-3 to a to a Amazon town where people are going to the bathroom in holes, and you know, like people are traveling 2 days to go to a medical center up a river. I mean, there's so much contrast within the country, and again, you don't have to go far. You know, you go to the Eje Cafetera, the coffee zone, and there's still people who go every day to work in a chiva, which is a type of bus, but it's basically a wooden box built on the back of a truck, and these things are still in service. You know, it's part of the pleasure of traveling in Colombia is to see that contrast of having, you know, big cities with shiny buildings, and then going out to these spectacular rural places that just have zero development.
Yeah, let's wind this down. It's been announced this week as well that President Santos is going to announce the increase of the Chiribiquete National Park by 1.5 million hectares. Awesome that he's doing it. Doesn't really matter, because it's out there, that there's just no way of getting there. When I went there, it was like 4 days upriver from Araraquara and all this stuff. Prince Charles and President Santos went there together, but obviously in helicopters. and so on. And then, you know, they can do it. I can't. But great that this should be done. But equally, it's just you know, it's gone.
Yeah, Richard, look, that's all good and well. Yeah. It's good headlines. But the country doesn't have the ability to look after these parks. Yeah. I mean, they're not looking after the parks they have. Mm. So, you know, increasing the size on paper without sending, you know, more resources is not really... I mean, it's good.
Is there even a park ranger? I never saw one.
I've never been. I know, I can tell you that there are a lot of parks that are under threat right now within the existing boundaries. Mm. And, you know, Parques Nacionales is chronically underfunded. Mm. Even the small parks, if you go to Estoraques, which is one of the smallest parks in their catalogue, right now, that's been divided up by the landowners because the government hasn't paid them for their lands. So they declared a park, but amongst private lands. And, you know, so they're all fighting over it. They're putting up fences. I mean, it's good to declare new parks, sure, but you have to follow through and give the resources. And it remains to be seen whether the current government or the government that is coming in next will, you know, stick to that. I think it's very important that parks... looked after from a nature point of view, but from a tourism point of view, it's still a long way off, you know, having good services in most of these parks. Mm. Like these parks in the Amazon basin, there's very limited access by the visitors.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's a tough one. I mean, Colombia's got it all, and it's got all the problems too. I mean, it's a tough one. But of course, we stay here, we live here, we love it. I mean, that's the truth of it, and that's why we talk about the issues, you know, that are on the table, but perhaps not discussed as much. Let's just take this moment to, you know, thank Alex Edgerton for his time, you know, to discuss with us a little bit about his thoughts about Colombia. And I hope we've opened, you know, a new portfolio for some of you who are thinking of coming back to Colombia, or those of you here in Colombia thinking, where should I go next? We really have veered away from the traditional places in this episode 220. It's been fascinating, and I really need to get out there a bit more now. I'm sure I've seen more of Colombia than a lot of people, but I want to get more out of the jungle. But I have to get permission from the person who runs this home, and that's my wife. So I can't really always all go. But thank you again, Alex, for your time, and thank you for coming in for the tourism fair. You know, it's always good to participate and have a little conversation with all the operators, see what's new, see what's on the table, see what's being offered. You know, there are problems in Colombia, of course there are, but there's so much else as well. So thank you for listening. This has been Colombia Calling. I've been speaking to Alex Edgerton of The Lonely Planet Guide, coming out in 2018, later this year. This is episode 220. Please tune in next week. I'm lining up some political people to interview so we can talk about the elections. You know, very important time in Colombia, very tense, let's say. Anyway, signing out for now, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.